Well, good morning. We're going to turn this morning to the final sermon in our short series on the chain that God has written together, that we may know Him and love Him more deeply, the assurance He gives us out of Romans 8 in this golden chain. And so this morning we'll consider glorification. If you would, please pray with me, and let's ask God to help us consider His Word together. Our Father in heaven, You are great and awesome. And Your glory transcends all other glories in the world. And Father, we are thankful that You have drawn us near, that we may both serve You and share with You in the beauty of Your glory. And so, Father, today would You help us as we receive Your Word to hear, and as hears the Word, to be convicted and conformed to the image of Jesus, that we might delight to be doers of the Word as well. So, Father, open our hearts that we may see You, know You, and love You with all that we have. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8, verse 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Bacon, bacon, bacon. I love bacon. Is that a surprise to you? This week I found an article. It was in my news feed about the best bacon in America. It turns out that there is a guy who is considered America's bacon critic. America's best bacon critic. His name is Sam Gold. He writes for a online publication that writes about breakfast called Extra Crispy. He got the job last year. He was one of 1,500 applicants for the job to write on bacon. And he has done a study of about every variety of bacon you can find in the United States. For those of you who would care, Smithfield, for those of us in the room who go to the grocery store to buy our bacon, for those of you, he would say the best bacon is Smithfield's Extra Thick. But in this article, as he talks about bacon, he slathers on all these great words to explain the taste of different kinds of bacon. I was saying, you know, that wouldn't be a bad job. Anybody else in the room love to be a bacon critic, eat bacon for a living? I love it. I love kids, man. All these hands going up. Wouldn't that be a great job? And I could get a little envious about having that job. Obviously, many people wanted. As a matter of fact, there was an article written because there were 1,500 applicants calling it the best job in America. I'd love to have that job, I think. You know, we tend to want something a little more all the time, don't we? I can remember I was a sophomore in college. I thought I had arrived. We were playing in the national championship. We were actually playing Wichita Falls, Texas. We were playing in the national championship for the soccer tournament. We were real proud of ourselves. We thought we had arrived. We were going there, and I can remember on the way being so excited to play soccer on a national in a national venue that I remember thinking something like this: I hope Jesus doesn't come yet. It seemed like such an important part of life. Now, I wouldn't accuse you of that, but have any of you ever had that moment where it seemed like this world had something to offer that you had to have in such a world, such a way that you might even hold off the coming of Jesus again? You know what it betrays in my heart, and what it may betray in your heart, is that we have too small a view of Jesus. And all that He has promised us in that second coming, all that will come in our glorification in being with Him. Glorification this morning is our topic, and it is this picture that we come to draw ourselves to, because there is great hope for the one who follows Christ that God is making all things right, and that full and finally, the presence of sin will be done away with in such a way that we will enjoy the glory of God even as we share in the glory of God. It's a marvelous thought. One that helps us in the tough times and the challenges that are around us, because we are called to see that we are made for more. More than bacon, more than national championships, more than whatever claims your heart in the place of Jesus. We are made for more, and you are made to reflect the glory of God eternally. Go on a little thought adventure with me this morning. If you were to walk on the campus of Texas A&M, let's say summer school starts soon, you were to walk on the campus and you were to ask the average person walking across the corridors of Texas A&M, if you were to ask them, what do you want to get out of life? What do you think you would hear from most? Well, I'd like to graduate. I'd like to get a good job that pays a marketable salary and maybe then just a little more. Like to get married, have a happy marriage, have my 2.3 kids at national average. Love to make enough money to buy a nice house, maybe even just a little nicer than my parents had. Love to raise kids who would actually love me and want to come see me. Love to retire with enough in the bank that we could go around the world and see some of those bucket list places that we've always desired to go. I think if you ask the average person on the campus, they would say something like that. Now, here's my question. If you were asking a non-Christian, that wouldn't be an uncommon thing for them to say. I don't think. I think you'd get that kind of answer. But let me ask you a question. What if you were to go and ask just the Christians, what do you want to get out of life? You know what I think you'd hear? I'd love to graduate with my degree. I'd love to get a good job and make enough money and get married and be able to support a family well. And love to have my 2.3 kids and begin to raise them up where they would love us in such a way that they might come home after they're out of school. And to save up a nest egg that would allow us to travel and have some good trips in our old age. And go to heaven after it's all done. You know, here's the thing I want to caution your heart at this morning. One of the challenges for us is to invest so much in this life that we see all that the world has to offer, that, by the way, are gifts from God, and fail to see how that comes into the whole of the glory of God for all of life here and all of life for an eternity. Is your view of the glory of God just a tack on to the end of a good life? If it is, you've missed the context of the assurance in which Paul writes this morning. That the heart of Paul is that God's glorifying work in us now and for us eternally would be something that prompts us to rest in Him, to strive for Him, and to seek His love day by day. Glorified. Those whom He foreknew, set His love on, He predestined, determined therein. And those who He has determined therein, He has called, He has lovingly drawn to Himself, justified, legally declared us rights, even with the benefits of being called children of God. Those whom He has justified, He has glorified. Isn't it interesting there? The certainty of the assurance of God for those who are set apart in Christ Jesus to be made like Christ Jesus. There's great hope for us in the glory to come, because of the glory that reigns over the world in Jesus Christ now. You see, the justified are glorified, and Paul wants to give us a bigger picture and our confidence in the work of Christ this morning. Because we are united to Christ by faith, we have the certain, good and certain hope of glory and glorification for an eternity. I want us to see this morning, as we examine the hope of glory, how we are to embrace and exercise that hope of glory in our daily lives. You see, this morning, the heart of the text is to encourage us to hold on to all that Christ gives in His saving work. The one who lived the perfect life, died a death in our place, has risen that we might be justified and declared right before God, and He walks along with us now, even as we labor and struggle towards home, that we may know the fullness of His glory, being glorified in His presence when He comes again. Examine with me the hope of glory this morning. First, we ought to define what glory is. What is glory? Now, we sang about it all morning long, haven't we? If you notice that Adam has planned our songs in such a way that we've seen something of the weight of glory. And the weight of glory is this, is that it comes, that idea of glory comes in the Old Testament from the Hebrew word kavod, which means weight or weighty. And when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the weight and wonder, the splendor and majesty of a great God. God's glory is significance. It's what holds most weight in all the universe and what should hold most weight in our life. What is glory? Glory is the splendor and significance of God as He relates to us and we are His people in worship, in awe, in transformation because of His work in us. But what is glorification? Now, some of y'all have already begun reading because my good friend in the back has anticipated where I'm going here. And glorification is that state of being where we will serve and share eternally without the presence of sin, the glory of God. And Wayne Grudem defines glorification this way. Glorification is the final step in the application of redemption. It will happen when Christ returns and raises from the dead the bodies of all believers for all time who have died, and reunite them with their souls and the changes the body of all believers who remain alive, thereby giving all believers at the same time resurrection bodies like His own. Now, isn't that a great promise? You see what God has promised to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are His. He has promised new, transformed, resurrected bodies that will delight to live in His worship eternally. And that's a hope today as well as for eternity. Glorification, strictly speaking, is that future blessing when Jesus comes again, when we will be free from sin and all its consequences. Can you imagine that? To be in a place where you are free from sin and all its consequences, body and soul. It is a magnificent promise, isn't it? Magnificent that God promises to bring us into His presence, that we may worship Him forever, that sin will be no more, and that the consequences of sin will be eradicated because we will worship Him eternally in the finished work of Jesus. What a blessing. What a future blessing. And that caused us to ask, well, when are we glorified? Because notice here, he says here, those whom He justified, those He glorified. Now, there is this sense where the whole thing of glorification is future, right? Because it takes Jesus coming again. It takes Jesus raising those who are dead in Christ up and transforming body and soul together in His presence. When in the great judgment there will be this separation of sheep and goats. Heaven and hell. The whole work of God there. But there is this sense in which glory is accomplished even now. Because the point Paul is making is that because God has said it, it is as good as done. How are we glorified? If it is this future event, how are we glorified now? Well, we are glorified as we stand with Jesus in identity in His finished work in the cross. Jesus has a glorified body. Jesus is glorified in the presence of God, and our identity is in His identity. But we are glorified also as we stand in the promise of God. His purpose and His plan will be secure for us. It is undefeatable. It is irrevocable. It is unbreakable, God's promise to us. And finally, we will be glorified when Jesus comes again. That's what we're examining this morning. This grand promise that God will not give up on us, that He will see us through to the end, where sin is dealt with, where life is granted, and where the presence of God is the thing that dominates all our experience. And that's what we're called to embrace this morning. See, with confidence, with great confidence this morning, we come to embrace the work of God. What does glorification mean for you and me today? What does it mean for us that God has promised it? How are we going to embrace it? Well, it means for us that we are sealed and safe and secure. Are there ever moments in your day where you don't feel so sealed, safe, and secure? Where your experience is robbed by your sin or the sin of others? Are there moments where you feel the loss and the hurt of pain and struggle? Are there moments where you can't get your mind around eternity? Now, one of the things that struck me early in ministry was how many people are freaked out about eternity. You ever been freaked out about eternity? I mean, I would talk to people who, and I still do talk to people who can't get their mind around tomorrow, much less forever. And what God says here is that I have your forever in my hand. What we are embracing is the way of God and the power of God for the joy of God, that our lives are controlled for His glory and our good for all eternity. We're embracing the promised, certain, irrefutable, glorious work of God for His people. It's a great gift, this idea of glorification. And we embrace glorification because glorification is glorification with Christ Jesus, said John Murray. Glorification is glorification with Christ Jesus. You know the longing of the Christian heart? The faith that will become sight is glory manifest in the power and work of Jesus, ever present to us. Certain now, promised forever. That's what we embrace. When we embrace these promises of the assurance of our salvation, we're embracing a life forever in the presence of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on knees with great worship for Him. But if we embrace it, how do we exercise it? You see, there is this sense in which this past tenseness, those whom He justified, He also glorified. There is this sense in which glory, that past tense of the promise of God, should affect every aspect of our life. There went the sermon outline. And we will exercise it as we seek and strain after Him. How is it that glory matters today? Well, it matters because we live in light of the promise of God's best for us and the gift of God's best to us, even in a fallen world. You know, one of the challenging questions for all of us when we find ourselves down and out is, how does this work for God's good? How is God working all things together for good? But Jesus, through Paul here, is promising us that God is doing that very thing. He is working even amidst the struggles of our lives. He is working all things together for good. For those whom will be glorified in His presence. You see, this promise we hold on to is it's as certain and as true as the very character of God. So whether this morning you are hitting every marker and every goal in your life, whether life is good and right on course just the way you want it, or whether you are depressed this morning because things aren't quite going your way, the goal is for us to see that our lives up and down are centered in the power and work of Jesus. He is the one to whom we give glory today, and He is the one to whom we will give glory for eternity. And this gift of glory, He will share with us when He transforms us into the likeness of the Son. That's what we depend on, and that's what we strain for. That's why the author of Hebrews can come to us this morning and tell us to cast off every sin that so easily entangles us and run the race set before us. Why? Because Jesus has already charted the course. He has already finished the race. And we go to the one who redeems. Well, why Paul in Philippians can tell us that we are to strain heavenward with every ounce of energy in the dependence we have upon Christ when he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Isn't that great hope? That we exercise the gifts of the promise of God even as we strain and rest in the one who has made us his own. There's nothing more beneficial to your day when you walk out of here this morning to know that Jesus has made you his own and that your day is in his hands. And that everything that governs your day, he is sharing with you. He is walking with you in. Some years ago, in the southern part of Mexico, there was a man who bought as a slave a young girl named Marguerite. She was 12 years old. She was chained in his room. He had her in his service. And over 17 years, she gave him 3 kids. He was an older man, and after that 17 years, he died, and nobody knew about Marguerite. It was 4 days before anyone went in the house and actually found her and her 3 kids. But she was freed. And she was brought out into the community. And she put her kids in school, and the oldest child was a little girl named Anna Marie. And everywhere Anna Marie went, people knew her story. And so she became an object of scorn and shame in the community. And people began to treat Anna Marie very poorly. She had been treated poorly in her young years and now in her school years by those in the community. She was seen as an outsider and one to be easily the target of scorn and bitterness. But in this community, there was a missionary who had come from America many years before. And he had spent his life serving this medium-sized town. He had spent his life serving these people. And he heard the story of Anna Marie and Marguerite. And he threw a grand feast. He went out and he threw a grand feast. And he was a man who was deeply respected in the community. He had started a church. And out of that church, he had started a school and a medical clinic. And the work that he and the folks who were serving Christ with him had done had been a great benefit to this community. And so people came to the dinner. And they sat down and they ate. And when they were delighted with the meal and the fullness of that meal, the missionary man stood up in front of the crowd and he says, I've thrown a great feast for you, and I'm sure that some of you are at least asking, why this great feast? I want you to know that the reason I have thrown this great feast is today I am taking Anna Marie as my goddaughter. And I want you to know this day that any good thing you do to her is a good thing that you do to me, and I will thank you. And any bad word you speak to her and any harm that comes to her, I will take as bad words and harm that come to me, and I will remember them. In that moment, in that hour, a girl's life was transformed in that community. Day after day after day. No longer did she walk in the scorn and the shame of the sins of others. but in the love of one who had claimed her. In the promise of one who had made her his own. That's the gospel of glory. Life stinks sometimes, doesn't it? It's hard to cast our eyes heavenward and Godward and to focus on the glory of God, but He has claimed us. And He is with us. In the ups and downs, the hell and the sorrow and the joys and delights of this life. And He is yours. As you rest in the One who is all glorious over all of heaven. You see, the beauty of God's glory is He shares. Yes, we serve Him and we make much of Him, but the beauty of God's glory is He shares and draws a people to Himself and provides and holds and sees to the very end of sin and the very beauty of His presence eternally. You know, some of us need that certainty this morning. Some of us are raging in our own souls this morning. Maybe you're angry with God. Maybe you find that this life is harder than you expected and this journey is more than you wanted and you just wonder where God is. Would you take certainty in the promises of God and the hope of His glory? Some of you are still raging outside the kingdom of God at one who would claim you, but you are wrestling with who He is. And I want you to know that the life in faith, the life that trusts Jesus, isn't always easy, but it is eternally good. Body and soul, God will make all things right for us. This morning in our worship service, we prayed for Cody and Katie Janicek. They were a delight when they were here as Aggies, and they have given their lives to serve in the Czech Republic. I don't know if you read their newsletter. We try to send them out. We'd love for you to read the newsletter for our missionaries. They always write revealing things and truths, and you can pray for the nations this way. But this one particularly grabbed me. Cody and Katie wrote a newsletter this last week, and the title grabbed me right from the beginning. Daddy, my heart is cracked. Did y'all see that one? Daddy, my heart is cracked. Well, it turns out that Katie and Cody had grandparents in. They had gone to visit them in Prague. And when they had come, the two kids, as they're growing up, and particularly Milo, has gotten of the age where he delights to have Mimi and Papa come. And they had taken them back to the airport. And Milo said to his dad, he said, "Are Mimi and Papa on the plane yet?" And Dad said, "No, I think they're probably just making it into the airport. They're probably not on the plane yet." And Milo said, "Well, then my heart's not cracked yet. But when they get on the plane, my heart will be cracked." That night, Katie talked to the kids about how Jesus is the answer to a cracked heart. And why they were there in Prague anyway, why they would endure the sufferings of this life, that many might know the joys of Christ eternally. You should go read it. Why would we give up a little here? It's because of the infinite riches of eternity to come. If you flip to the end of the Bible, there is this promise that is sure and certain, undefeatable, because God is in charge of it, of a new heaven and a new earth and a new presence where we will delight in Him always, even as He delights for us. You see, glorification, it is Christ for the world and our share of the world for Christ. That's our eternal hope. Would you find your hope in Jesus? And would you hold fast to the promise of glory to come, even as you live for His glory now? Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we know we need more of a vision of Your grandeur and greatness. And I pray, Father, that You would give us a glimpse that nothing in this world compares to the offer of the glory of Christ revealed to us. Joy forever, even as we're asked to live by faith now. Would you help us to see and in seeing receive the beauties of the gospel, that we may have hearts that are confident and assured that no matter what today looks like, our eternity is secure because you are in us and with us by the power of your Spirit and the power of your word. So we seek you in Jesus' name. Amen.